I'm James Erpine, and this is the Locked On Bengals podcast. On a Thursday, we have a ton to get to on today's show. Sam Hubbard will be on this program. Jeff Hobson, Bengals.com. Also, some thoughts on the national media, and I'll give my prediction for Sunday. It is great to be with you. On Twitter, at James Erpine, at Locked On Bengals. Subscribe, iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, the iHeartRadio app, and every podcast posted at LockedOnBengals.com. It is great to be with you on this Thursday. We have a ton to get to, and I want to start with the national media. Because what did we talk about a lot on this podcast? I'm sure you talked about it with fellow Bengals fans. The national media does not like us. That's what it was before the season, right? Oh my goodness, did you see? That's another national outlet saying 4-12. It was all over. 4-12, 3-13, 5-11, 6-10. National media, not a fan of the Bengals. Well, that is starting to change. I saw Adam Schein earlier this week, NFL.com, wrote about the Bengals and is buying in after that drive. He said, these are not your older brother's Bengals. Starting to see the national media turn on this team. Starting to see the talking heads. And outside of Stephen A. Smith, that is. Outside of him, they're starting to get noticed. And that's a good sign. Kyle Brandt of NFL Networks thinks that, and this is on Good Morning Football, Kyle Brandt thinks the Bengals are the best team in the AFC.
I'm going to go with a team that's been in school a long time. I mean, they're in 13th grade right now. I'm going to talk about the Cincinnati Bengals. And I've kind of got this little voice in my head saying, don't fall in love with the Bengals. I kind of am falling in love with them because they were a little bit like Wooderson and Dazed and Confused, just around and around and around, and they never really graduate. They got their act together right now. They got a new trapper keeper, and they got the calculator, and they're getting A's. I like what the Bengals are doing. That game they had against Baltimore was awesome. That one they had last week was awesome. They passed. I would call those tests. I would call those big tests. And in the past, the bigger the test is, the worse the grade has been for the Bengals. So I'm going to give Cincinnati head of the class. I like it.
How about that? I mean, how about that? I mean, I don't even have them as the best team in the AFC. I'm not even sure, even though they're leading the division, that the Bengals are the best team in the AFC North. They are good. They are playing at a very high level. By the way, an update on the Bengals from an injury perspective. Vontaze Burfict practiced again today, as did Joe Mixon. Giovanni Bernard did not, and John Ross did not. So that's not a good sign. You don't practice Thursday during Marvin's time. That's concerning. John Ross was on the bike. Obviously, he suffered a groin injury, was limited in practice on Wednesday, suffered a groin injury on Sunday. Giovanni Bernard didn't practice at all. So he didn't practice yesterday either. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there. I'll keep you up to date on Twitter at James Erpine and at Locked On Bengals. If they're out, this game becomes that much more interesting. And I'm going to give a prediction for today's game, Sunday's game, excuse me, today on the podcast. I think it's going to be closer than people think. I think that the Dolphins, not that they're great, but I think they're good enough to come in here, and I wouldn't be shocked if it's in doubt in the fourth quarter. If you're on the edge of your seat in the fourth quarter. I really believe that. And I'll give my prediction coming up in a few minutes. But I caught up with, and you're going to hear from Jeff Hobson on today's podcast. I'm going to give my prediction on today's podcast. But I caught up with Sam Hubbard. And Sam Hubbard is a guy, local product, Cincinnati native, went to Moeller High School, went to Ohio State, now back here in Cincinnati, playing for the Bengals, the team he grew up cheering for. And here's the cool part. This will be his first game, Sunday afternoon game, you know, Sunday 1 o'clock game at Paul Brown Stadium. I asked him what it was like in his first one against the Ravens, what it's going to be like Sunday and so much more. Here's my conversation with Bengals defensive lineman, rookie Sam Hubbard.
How have you adjusted? First quarter of the season, what's it like being in the NFL?
It's a big adjustment, you know. It's definitely challenging. You know, they say it's a long season for a reason. You know, you only played four games. We got a lot more football to play. Just puts more emphasis on taking care of your body and making it through the season and playing your best football when it matters.
I feel like since you've gotten here, you've seen a little bit of everything from key guys going down to injury to veterans getting released and Brandon LaFell. I mean, there's been a bunch of different things that you've seen in your short time in the NFL. Is there anything that surprised you the most?
I think it's just a surprise how competitive everything is. You know, every day you got to be at your best and you got to perform. If you're not performing, then, you know, you can could not be here much longer. So, you know, every day you got to bring your best. You got to be studying your notes. Can't make mistakes, because the difference between games in the NFL is one or two plays, and that's how every game is.
As a defensive lineman, there's plenty of defensive linemen, that veterans on this team, whether it's Geno Atkins, whether it's Carlos Dunlap, Michael Johnson, et cetera. Has there been anyone that's kind of taken you under their wing?
Yeah, I would say Michael Johnson. We've become really close over these first few months of the season, and just a great role model and person to have in the locker room as a mentor.
In the locker room with Sam Hubbard, a few more questions for him. Obviously, got the Dolphins this week. What have you seen from them on film? I know Ryan Tannehill's off to a good start. What challenge does that offense possess for you guys?
They do a lot of things well. You know, they've got very athletic receivers, athletic tight end. They're good at running the ball, very good left tackle in Laremy Tunsil. I think they present a lot of different challenges, but it really, football is football. And if we play our defense fundamentally sound, I think we'll have success. But, you know, once again, it's the NFL, and there's great players everywhere. So we got to be at our best.
You'll get to play at Paul Brown Stadium for the second time now in the regular season. How much did it mean to you that first time when you took the field against the Ravens?
Yeah, that was special. And, you know, a Thursday night game against the Ravens. I just want to continue playing well at home. It starts game two on Sunday.
What's the meeting room been like this week on defense? Obviously, there's been some issues, I would say, over the past couple of weeks. So what's the, I guess, the vibe like when Terrell Austin meets with you guys?
Yeah, I think it's just more, we're becoming more and more detail-oriented. We watch some plays. We're literally inches away from breaking up a pass or doing what we're supposed to do. We're a little late or a little unsure, so we're trying to really make everyone know exactly what they're doing, when we're doing it, so we can play faster and just paying closer attention to detail.
Did you get a chance to watch Ohio State over the weekend against Penn State? What'd you think?
Great game. You know, I'm really – shout out to the boys for getting it done. That's a special moment, similar to what I had last year against Penn State, and they'll cherish it forever.
Sam, I appreciate the time. Good luck Sunday.
No problem. Thanks.
It's Bengals defensive lineman Sam Hubbard, who's off to a pretty good start in his Bengals career. And I think we all hope it continues this Sunday against the Miami Dolphins. Speaking of the Dolphins, if you're looking for a place to watch the game, Wiedemann's is the place for you. Wiedemann Brewing Company has joined us this week as the official brewery of the Locked On Bengals podcast. They've been around since 1870, and they're under new ownership now and reborn in downtown St. Bernard on Vine Street in an historic building. It is awesome. They have 42 taps, all world-class beers, great food. When you're talking about beers, they got Bohemian Special Brew, Royal Amber, IPA, Stouts, Pale Ales, Blueberry Tart Ale. They also have a full kitchen with burgers, wings, and they're bomb, all right? Yeah, everyone says best in town. They are the bomb. So check out their burgers, their wings, and their food. Awesome stuff. And they got great events, too. So Saturday, they're having a cruising. So if you're a car person, you live in Cincinnati, check it out. 3 till 9 on Vine Street. They're going to block it off, have a awesome cruising that it'll be really cool. They'll have music by the Jeremy Francis Band on Friday, and then Sunday, pitcher specials during the game. Stick around for music later that night. I mean, they have all different stuff going on at Wiedemann's all the time. It's right down the street from my house. I'm sure we're going to have a Bengals watch party there later this year. I won't be there on Sunday, at least during the game, unfortunately. I'll be at Paul Brown Stadium, but it is a great spot to watch the game. And don't miss their Fall Fest Music and Craft Beer Festival. It's in 2 weeks. It's being held at Wiedemann's Tree-Lined Beer Garden down by the Canal Path. Live music all weekend long from late Friday afternoon through Sunday evening, and plenty of great craft beer from Wiedemann's and other local micro breweries, along with specialty food vendors and so much more. Mark it down 2 weeks from now, but I hope to see you at Wiedemann's soon. They're local, really good brewery, and they're the official brewery of the Locked On Bengals podcast. I'm James Rapine, and this is the Locked On Bengals podcast. We're going to talk with Jeff Hobson in just a second, and then we'll get to my prediction and so much more here on the podcast on a Thursday edition of Locked On Bengals. I just wanted to give a quick shout out to you, because we're off to a great start this month. It's been a fun month. It's fun when the Bengals are doing well, obviously, and they're doing really well. And just a quick reminder that we're going to come at you with a post-game reaction podcast every single Sunday following the Bengals game, or if somehow they get flexed to Sunday night, whatever it is. I'm letting you know now. My goal is for after every Bengals game the morning later, the next day, that morning when you're driving into work, you get my opinion, you hear from players, you hear the latest reaction from the Bengals. So just, it's a new way of doing it. Last year we waited till Monday for the podcast. We're not doing that. We're doing it the day of in a post-game reaction podcast. So be on the lookout for that Sunday right here on Locked On Bengals. Jeff Hobson, Bengals.com. I caught up with him yesterday on ESPN 1530. This is about a 14-minute conversation. I started off by asking Jeff about Andy Dalton and if it is the best four-game stretch of his career, because I certainly thought so.
But I bet if we went back and looked, there were better ones. I mean, I think the guy's maybe the most underrated guy in the league. You know, he's had some pretty good, you know, I go back into 2015. He had a pretty good run there too. But it's an interesting question. He's been good. He's been good even when his stats have been bad. Mm-hmm. That's how good he's been. So, you know, I was talking to Dave Lapham about this out of practice today. Last year, you know, he was pretty good when there was stuff melting all around him, you know. You know, he was the one constant. This thing really could have imploded, but he hung in there. And you got to remember, you know, James, this may be indeed his best four-game stretch. He's in a new offense. Mm-hmm. All these guys are in a new offense, and he's out there operating it like he's been doing it for 20 years. So I agree with you. It's been an impressive four-game stretch.
It's been
it may be the most, but I think it's probably the most unheralded in the league.
Yeah, I would say that at least through the first month of the season. Speaking of first months of the season and impressing, Tyler Boyd, I mean, I was high on Tyler Boyd when they drafted him. He performed well as a rookie. Then he was a healthy scratch a couple of weeks last season, and it seemed like who knows what you were going to get going into this year. And after the first month, he leads this team in receptions and receiving yards. What a 180 from year two to year three for Boyd.
Yeah, I think, you know, Marvin hit it on the head there. I think he sat out. He sat out a couple games. He was hurt. He sat back. I think there's another guy who had an underrated rookie year. Between Chris Collinsworth in 81 and A.J. Green in 2011, most productive year that the rookie receivers had here. And, you know, I think he led all rookie receivers with third downs. And, you know, I think what he did was he sat out. You know, he sat out a little bit. I think he had some off-field stuff where he got everything together, got things together, and you know, had a great last two games, and he's really, you know, hell, I mean, probably as good as any as any receiver in the league right there. You know, he's on pace for 1,396 yards. But the thing that impresses me about him, James, is whenever there's a big play to be made, he makes it. He did it as a rookie on third down. As everyone knows, he did it on fourth down in the last game last year, and he was just absolutely hellacious in the last drive down in Atlanta. He converted one third down, converted two fourth downs. I mean, that's pretty impressive.
Jeff Hobson is with us, Bengals.com. Vontaze Burfict returned to practice today. He's going to play Sunday, right?
I got to believe it. I mean, he's made a career out of rolling out of bed. You know, he's like a guy that rolls out of bed and February and hits, you know, 3:15. It's just a matter of how many snaps, James. I mean, he looked like he was in pretty good shape out there. Don't know what kind of football shape he's in, but I bet a buck they'll try to play him 20 snaps and he'll probably end up playing 35. He has a history of doing that. He actually did this 2 years ago against this Miami team on Thursday night when he came back from suspension. And I remember they held the Dolphins to one touchdown. And, you know, he played more than they thought. He did it in 2015 in Pittsburgh. Remember, he was coming off PUP, seventh game of the year, and Ray Malaluga went down on the first snap of the game. So suddenly he goes to playing on third down to playing virtually every snap. And they beat the Steelers down there. So Tez has a way of showing up for the moment, and I would expect every bit of that Sunday.
How did he look today at practice?
all we saw basically, James, was individuals and stretching, and pretty hard to tell. You know, I'm sure his timing isn't as good as it was with those other guys, but that's not what Tez is about. Tez is about when they're playing the game and they blow it a whistle, and they're actually playing football. So we really, you know, you can't tell out there. But I don't know if you could tell anyway. If you watched every second of practice, that couldn't tell you how Von Tez is going to play on Sunday, because he's so much different when the lights are on.
He looked like he looked lean today, based on what I saw. I saw him in the locker room. He didn't look too plump. I know he's had his issues just staying in shape when he's not playing in the past, but at least from the eye test, it seemed like perfect passes that as of right now.
Yeah, that's the word, you know. And if he's and then obviously that passes the Marvin test. What was ever on that scale. And it's going to be hard for Marvin not to play him very much.
Yeah, I agree with that. Do you think that, and is there concern within the organization, and Jeff Hobson, Bengals.com, is with us. I'm James Rapine. Is there concern at all with these new rules, with the way quarterbacks are being protected right now, that Perfect is going to have to adjust even more than he already has with his game? And he's obviously got a target on his back from officials in the league, et cetera. Is there any worry there? Has that been discussed at all?
I haven't heard it discussed, but, I mean, there's no question that there's concern. I mean, the guy's had a target on his back, for a while. Some of it he's invited, some of it he hasn't. And so I think, I can't wait to ask him Friday. You know, he's going to talk to the press Friday. That's probably one of the first questions. When you get guys like Carl Lawson and Sean Williams wondering about it, you know, about the roughing the quarterback stuff, you can imagine what's going through Tez's mind. So, obviously there's a concern. I saw where there's, but I don't know, maybe we've panicked with the helmet rule. There's only been four calls? There's only been four?
Yeah, it hasn't been bad.
Yeah, so, are the news rule, where are the rules? They seem to be tougher on roughing the quarterback than it is with the helmet rule. But who knows with Tez? You know, they seem to have a different standard for him. So, but Tez is a smart guy. I mean, he sees what's going on. So, I'm sure he'll try to adjust.
Jeff Hobson is with us, Bengals.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Jeff Hobson. Let's talk about the return of Sunday. Joe Mixon could return as well. It's not just Von Tez Perfect. It sounded like when Marvin was talking in his press conference today, he described the forecast as sunny for Joe. So Joe expected to return Sunday, but Giovanni Bernard down. Interesting there. Do you think both running backs will be back, or do you think they're going to swap it and Gio could be down this week?
Well, I mean, it sure does sound like Joe's going to be back. He was listed as limited, but, I guess you would expect that his first time off. The only reason Joe wouldn't play, I would think, is because they want to hold him back one more week for Pittsburgh. But he looks like, judging by that run down the sideline to greet Green, it looks like he's ready. I think Gio will be ready, too. I think they're just kind of, he took a lot of shots in that game down in Atlanta. He played a gutsy game, all out. Had a lot of work, took some shots. I think that's just kind of probably rest for a guy that, took a lot of blows on Sunday. I think Gio will be back. And it sure sounds like Mixon's going to be back too.
Yeah, and that's great news for the Bengals. And Jeff, this kind of ties into what I led off with Andy Dalton in the four-game stretch. But the Bengals are 3-1. Their starting running back went down. Their starting center is still down. They were without Von Tez Perfect. They started 3 of 4 on the road against NFC South opponents in Atlanta and Carolina, both really good teams. And they found a way to win 3 out of 4. I think that this is almost a best-case scenario when you consider all of the circumstances going into it to start the season 3-1. Would you agree?
And there's no question. That last drive, I think, to me, summed it all up. You don't have Giovanni Bernard. You got Alex Erickson taking snaps at running back. You've got John Ross is not in the game, so Erickson's playing a little bit of the slot. I mean, it's... you got Cody Cord coming out there and on that last drive taking snaps. It was really a total team win. I mean, you can talk about the defense, giving up all those yards and points, but They made three huge, you know, they made the huge, huge fourth down stop early in the game on a Geno sack, and Kyle Lawson came up with a big sack to force into a field goal late. So it was really a classic team effort. To me, they had to split between Carolina and Atlanta, and they did it the hard way, beating Matt Ryan in Atlanta. And you know, I thought they had to get back here 3-1. Now they know they're going to be around this thing for the entire season at 3-1. And you know, that was huge to get that split down there. And it was, like I said, they did it the hard way. I mean, and the way they did it, this is a team. It kind of reminds me of not the 15 team. It kind of reminds me of the 09 team.
Agreed.
That was really a new team. It was really a new team makeup wise, and that was more of a veteran team. But they were kind of a hybrid of draft picks and kind of recycled veterans. And this one is more the youth of this team. Now, this is the youth of this team stepping up. But it's the same kind of feel, and that this is kind of a new addition out there. You know, it's not as proven as that 15 team, but kind of making their way like that 09 team.
Last question for you, Jeff, and you've been great with your time. John Ross is a guy that a week ago was getting just destroyed on shows like this, on basically anyone that writes or covers the Bengals. There was criticism going John Ross's way. I think he rebounded well in Atlanta. What is the organization? How do they look at him right now? How do the coaches look at him? And what's your opinion of Ross? Because I think if coming into the season you would have said he's going to have two touchdowns in four games, you would have taken that. But you also don't want the bad stuff that happened week three. So just what's the overall feel right now of the second-year player?
Well, yeah, clearly they're looking for more consistency from the guy because because as you have seen, he's a very dangerous player. You know, and I think they're going to be patient with him. I mean, this guy's he wants to do well. You know, I think everybody in the world, from Chad Johnson to the guy from, you know, to the guy from Anderson, Colin, is saying, you know, don't think so much. You know, just go out and play and have fun. You know, he's a good guy. He wants to do well. He's committed. You know, unfortunately, he's going through things that we all go through as when you're in your profession for the first time, 22, 23, 24 years old. I mean, when I was 22, I could barely tie my shoe, you know? So unfortunately these guys have to grow up in the spotlight. Bright guy, knows what he's got to get done. And you know, he said it, I thought he was, you know, Chad, I had a nice chat with Chad Johnson last week. And Chad said, you know, he loves John Ross. He loves his game. And if he had a chance to talk to him, he would tell him, listen, just relax, enjoy it. Don't think. Just go play. And that's exactly what Chad told him when he before the game on the field. And TJ Houshmandzadeh basically told him the same thing. John, I guess they talked or texted before the game down in Atlanta. And, you know, TJ has worked with John out on the field and practice out in California in the off season. So, you know, I think, you know, and Chad said, listen, right now it's a mental thing because he's got all the physical tools, and he's showing it. You know, Chad thinks there's no difference between him and Tyreek Hill, that he can be the Bengals' Tyreek Hill. And I think John just needs confidence. I think he just needs to more plays. You know, I mean, people don't talk. I mean, he gets scored a touchdown, but people don't talk about the play on the sideline after the touchdown in the third quarter.
That's the best catch I've seen him make.
Yeah, no question. Tough went to the ground. I mean, just stretched out, and he was hurt. He had a groin problem. We saw it when he grabbed for it, when he scored the touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was a hell of a play. I mean, so, you know, I think nobody's putting this guy on a rowboat and pushing him out like he's Henry Hudson. You know, I mean, this guy is a number one pick for a reason. He showed it, and I think they're going to be patient with him.
That's Jeff Hobson, Bengals.com. He says that the Bengals going to be patient with John Ross. John Ross did not practice today, so that is certainly something to watch out for there. As for the Bengals, well, it's Bengals, it's Dolphins. Is this a trap game? I asked someone that earlier this week, Richard Skinner of Local 12 and Local12.com. You'll hear his answer. He covers the Bengals for Local 12 here in Cincinnati. Hear that answer coming up in just a second. But first, I got to tell you about my bookie. And by the way, tonight, it's Patriots minus 10.5 on Thursday Night Football. If you're laying down cash on any games, that's the one. That's the game I love this week. Who you're betting on, just as important as who you're betting with. I tell everyone, use my book if you're going to bet on the games. Patriots minus 10.5. I think they're going to roll the Colts. The Colts don't have T.Y. Hilton. They don't have Marlon Mack. They don't have Jack Doyle. I think this is when New England gets things churning and burning. Julian Edelman returns. Josh Gordon's going to be out there. Obviously, Rob Gronkowski's going to be out there. So I think that Tom Brady and the Patriots get it done tonight. I'd only recommend a service to my listeners if it's been good to me. I'm urging you, make your way to my bookie. You win, they pay. If you join my bookie right now, they're going to match your deposit dollar for dollar. Use promo code LOCKEDON25 to activate the offer. Again, use promo code LOCKEDON25. You play, you win, you get paid with my bookie. Again, MYBOOKIE. And don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON25. Some have said that Sunday could be a trap game for the Bengals. And I caught up with Richard Skinner of Local 12 and Local12.com yesterday, and I asked him that exact question. Is Sunday's game against the Dolphins a trap game?
Oh, there's no doubt. And this is, you hear it all the time in gambling circles. Don't play the trap game. You're coming off an emotional win on the road. And I heard Jeff Hobson earlier, and he's right. You had to split those two games, and you did it the hard way. But it does take an emotional toll. It does take something out of you. And then Pittsburgh looms. And there's no doubt that they know Pittsburgh looms. You're coming back home. You're thinking, okay, this is a team we should beat. And in this league, you do that, you have bad things happen to you. I think this team takes that Atlanta win, though, and honestly springboards off of it as opposed to having a letdown from it. I really do. But we'll see. It is absolutely a classic trap game, no question.
Yeah, I think the one benefit would be, well, Vontaze is back and Joe Mixon's back. Yeah. So it's kind of almost a shot in the arm in a week where you might have needed it just because it's not like you're getting super excited. Not that you're not excited, but super excited to play a team like Miami.
No, and I think that's a great point. And it's the two most emotional guys on this team. You've seen Joe's exuberance, and you saw it firsthand on Sunday a couple of different times, especially at the end when he ran down the sideline and tackled A.J. Green in celebration. And Vontaze is obviously an emotional player, sometimes not in a very good way. But, yeah, you do get a little energy bump on both sides of the ball from that, so that is certainly a plus.
Here's the problem, is I got Giovanni Bernard telling reporters we'll see about playing. He didn't practice today, so I assume he's not going to play. That's concerning. No John Ross either. You heard earlier this week, Joe Goodberry of The Athletic, if Ross isn't out there, all of a sudden the defense is going to be able to come downhill a bit more. No Eifert, no Ross, no Gio. I think that this is tough. This is going to be a tough game. This is going to be a close game. If you're betting with my bookie, 5.5 points, the Dolphins 5.5 point underdogs, I like the Dolphins. I really do. In that aspect, from a gambling perspective, I'll give my actual prediction for this game coming up next. I'm James Rapine, and this is the Locked On Bengals podcast. Isn't it crazy how much people pay for brand name clothes? Why do you buy kids' clothes if they're just going to outgrow them in a few months? Wouldn't it be great if there was a place to discover awesome discounts on gently used name brand clothes? Well, there is. It's Swap.com. It's the world's largest online consignment and thrift store. Stop driving to store, sifting through racks, easily sift through millions of clothes in seconds on swap.com. With swap.com, you can get name brand clothing, Carter's, Nike, J. Crew, Gap, Lululemon, up to 90% off retail price. Some of your favorite brands, quality hand-inspected items are added daily. If something doesn't fit, enjoy a hassle-free return within 30 days. And you get a special offer right now with swap.com because you're listening to this podcast. Get 35% off select items for your first order with promo code LOCKEDON. Again, 35% off select items for your first order with promo code LOCKEDON, plus new deals every day on swap.com's homepage. So I walked in to the studio, a couple hours ago, and I walked in on a couple of people talking about the Bengals game. But they weren't talking about Sunday against the Dolphins. No, they were already looking ahead to Pittsburgh. And that's my concern with this one. Not that the team is going to look ahead, but that you're riding high and you get a Dolphins team that got its tail kicked in, your favorites for the first time this season in Vegas, and it just feels like you're going to win. That's concerning to me. I think that this Dolphins team is going to get after Andy Dalton more than we've seen other teams do. I think he's going to get uncomfortable. I think there's going to be some doubt. I do. I think this is going to be a close game. And in the fourth quarter, I believe the Dolphins will either have the lead or be close to taking the lead, and you're going to be nervous, and I'm going to be nervous, and anybody rooting for the Bengals is going to be nervous. Here's the thing. When those times have come this year, with or without injuries, all that stuff, they found a way. They found a way to handle their business. Now, you're going to say, oh, well, James, they didn't in Carolina. Yeah, I get it, but that's a really good Carolina team that still hasn't lost a game at home. They haven't lost a game at home since last season. They've won seven straight at home dating back to last year. And they held in there. They hung in there. This Miami team, I think they're okay. I don't think they're good. I think they're an 8-8 team. I think that this game is going to go down to the wire, and I'm going to take the Bengals. I've been wrong on my last three predictions. After the Indy game, I've been wrong. I said the Ravens would win. Then I said the Bengals would beat Carolina. Then I said that the Falcons would beat the Bengals. So naturally, I'm picking the Bengals this week. I think the Bengals are going to beat the Dolphins. If they don't, what a letdown it would be. It would be a nightmare. It would be awful. It really would. And so if you're the Bengals, you got to find a way to get this win, get to 4-1, stay in first place in the AFC North, and have a chance against Pittsburgh next week to really put a dagger through their chances of winning the AFC North, because they've gotten off to a lackluster start, to say the least. If you want to read more about the Bengals, if you want to check out more about the Bengals, always LockedOnBengals.com. You can also try The Athletic, because Joe Goodberry, you hear him every single week here. The Athletic is a great source for Bengals fans, for NFL fans, and I got you 40% off right now. Go to theathletic.com/LockedOnBengals, and you're going to get 40% off. You don't have to worry about pop-up ads or anything like that. Just great journalism, great articles, unique content. It's really cool. I love the work that they do at The Athletic. This week, Joe Goodberry wrote about Tyler Boyd. You could check that out and so much more. Again, go to theathletic.com/LockedOnBengals for 40% off. It's going to do it for me. Back at it on Sunday following the Bengals game. I will have Bengals reaction. I'll get your reaction with the Locked On Bengals voicemail at 513-666-0328. And so much more. It has been a fun week of podcasts. I hope every week is like this. If you go to Wiedemann's, let them know about Locked On Bengals. Let them know we sent you. If you go to swap.com, make sure you use that promo code Locked On. And until next time, I'm James Erpine. Thanks for listening to the Locked On Bengals podcast.